Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc., used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. This week, the message is titled, An Early Good Friday. Thank you to Don, Paul, and Alan for being involved in making this video. The scripture reading is Hebrews 9:11-15. But when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are now already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant.
Hello, and welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ worship service. I hope this morning, or whenever you're joining us today, that we feel the warmth of the love of Christ as we worship God today. Annual meeting here for Beamsville Church of Christ will be held on the 11th of April, 2021, at 11:55 a.m. See Adam for more information. Murray is in need of a new living arrangement. Please get in touch with him if you're aware of any available apartments. And we want to shout out a happy birthday to John, Jenny, and John. We're judging from Don's title and text, I think we're kind of looking towards Easter in our sermon this morning. And I thought along those lines, it would be great to start this morning with a bit of celebration, anticipation, and encouragement from the Easter event. So Isaiah 52:53 is the bit of Isaiah when it comes to Jesus we often go to, where it describes who he is and what he is, but what he's going to do. Isaiah 54:55 is God saying what the world is going to look like after what Jesus did. It's an encouragement, it's a celebration, and it's a world we hopefully can live in. So read with me Isaiah 54, verses 2 through 4, 11 through 15, and then 55, 1 through 6. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. Afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will rebuild you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with lapis lazuli. I will make your battlements of rubies and your gates of sparkling jewels and all of your walls of precious stones. All of your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be of my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon the nations you know not, and the nations you do not know will come running to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near.
Thank you for gathering with us today. Typically, we gather together on Good Friday every year. And then, of course, we enjoy the Resurrection Sunday as well. Next Sunday, of course, is Easter. So today, we are gathered on Good Friday. This is our Good Friday. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Now, I suspect out of the many, quotation, holy days that we enjoy here in Beamsville, we gather on Christmas Day, we love the celebration of the Old Testament prophets coming to reality when Jesus is born, the birth of Jesus, Christmas time, it's just a festive, wonderful time. And of course, we love Easter, and next Sunday will be Easter, and we will be celebrating because Jesus has been raised from the dead, saying that we too shall raise to live a new life. But may I say that Good Friday is often most avoided simply because for some reason over the years, Good Friday became a detailed explanation of a crucifixion. That is not at all what Good Friday is about. Good Friday is about the forgiveness of our sins. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But because Jesus was born does not forgive us our sins. And Easter is the resurrection of Jesus. And we love the resurrection, but it's not the resurrection that forgives us our sins. Good Friday is often most avoided. But maybe some of the things that can be said today will help us to not avoid Good Friday, because it is the day of all days. It is the day that we remember our sins have been forgiven. Crucifixion always had the theme of punishment and power attached to it. To equate crucifixion with love and forgiveness seemed quite impossible. Crucifixion was to belittle, it was to shame, it was to enforce Roman power. Step outside of our will for you, and this is what's going to happen to you. And that's why we remember these words. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of this gospel I preached to you, which you have received, on which you've taken your stand by this gospel. You're saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as first importance, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. The Spartan authorities in 71 BC understood that they lived in a cross-shaped world. Jesus lived in a cross-shaped world. The apostles and the disciples in the first century lived in a cross-shaped world. There were crosses everywhere. The Spartan authorities in the year 71 BC crucified some 6,000 rebels, all along the road between Rome and Capua. That's one cross every 40 paces. Thousands of young men were crucified around the time Jesus was born for staging a rebellion. And thousands more were crucified when Jerusalem was under siege in 69 AD. All this is to say and remind ourselves that Jesus lived in a cross-shaped world. And if you and I lived back then, we would be living in a cross-shaped world. We would see crosses everywhere. And there's a reason why on many church buildings there is a cross. It is the significance that we share. No one ever thought of saying that on the cross, Jesus defeated the principalities and powers in the world. No one could possibly grasp the comment, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." No one said, "He died for my sins according to the scriptures," although the prophet Isaiah certainly did. It shocked people when they started to hear that the crucifixion of Jesus was for the benefit of the whole world, and that we can live in a new world of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, all because of the cross. It just didn't make sense. And yet, Jesus offers himself. In fact, on the cross, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he was putting a stamp on it. He was putting a period after it. He was saying, "This is the reason I came into the world. Forgiveness of sins is now available for all people of all time. It is finished. It'll never happen again that the Son of God will give his life for the forgiveness of all people." So it saddens me that over the years we have avoided Good Friday, and I understand why. If you've ever been to a Good Friday service and it's a detailed explanation of a crucifixion, it's horrible. It's a horrible situation. But when we come together on a Good Friday to understand the reason our sins are forgiven is because Jesus willingly shed his blood for us. Now we have Old Testament scriptures that many of us know very, very well. And I just will read Isaiah 53. Many of you, if you have a phone that has your Bible in it, you can look at it with me. Isaiah chapter 53, the entire chapter really does explain exactly what's being said, even before it happens, maybe some 800 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah, in great detail, shares the forgiveness of sins. Isaiah 53, I'm reading from an older NIV, says this: "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities. He carried our sorrows." And he still does. If you're feeling sorrowful today, he carries your sorrows. We considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our sins. He was crushed for our sins, iniquities, transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? Interesting to me that we're reading something some 800 years before Jesus lived, and we're in the Bible, because he says, and who can speak of his descendants? We are his descendants because of our faith in him. It's amazing. He was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. He was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servants will justify many us, and he will bear our iniquities. Therefore, give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. One of the greatest passages of scripture in all of the Bible. And it happened long before Jesus came into the world. But Paul does something unique. And a familiar passage that I'd like you to read with me is found in Philippians chapter 2. Sometimes this is called a song, an anthem. And in my own mind, Paul, and I don't know for sure, Paul may have gone back and just read what we read from Isaiah. And he puts a tune to it. It's kind of a song, if you will. But it's for us today. Chapter 2 of Philippians. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Well, do we? Do we have encouragement because we're reunited with Christ? If any comfort from his love, do we have comfort from his love? If any fellowship with the Holy Spirit, do we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes, to all of these things. If any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Wow. Your attitude, my attitude, should be the same as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So let me just share a few more passages of Scripture that kind of reiterates why Good Friday is a day that we need not avoid. I don't know what your experience has been for years in our fellowship, and I don't know how many years it's been there. There was always a gathering together of many Christians in Ontario. We'd gather together and celebrate a Good Friday. But very seldom, if ever, was there a message about Good Friday, about the forgiveness of sins on Good Friday. That it was on Friday that I think heaven was quiet. God himself was giving himself, shedding his blood for the sacrifice of all people. And that Good Friday is a supreme day. Now, we've often avoided Good Friday, and I understand that too. Nobody wants to hear about a detailed explanation of a crucifixion. But Good Friday is the day of days. It is the celebration that God says, your sins are forgiven. And I like to think in my crazy imagination, and I did this morning, and I do now. I like to think that one day we're going to be standing beside Jesus and everybody else. But I like to think that because we are, that I can picture Jesus right now, looking at you and looking at me with a smile on his face. He loves us. He's always loved us. He always will love us. And it's his death that he gives to us so that death is swallowed up in victory, as Paul says. So, often at communion, we read these words, 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant, the law, the promise, in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. And I use my imagination to thinking of Andrew, Peter, and all those other people looking back now and say, I was there. That's, we couldn't grasp what he was saying. Now we get it. Now we understand how this death, how Good Friday is a celebration that our sins are forgiven. Or when Paul says in Ephesians 2, 12 and 13, remember, there was a time when you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were without hope, without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. So again, I don't know what your experience is like, but for many of us, we remember in detail our baptism. There was something so unique in that baptism. And it's just a simple ceremony. Somebody saying, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yeah, I surely do. And down into the water and up out of the water. Wonderful experience. And we knew that something changed in our life. And we took communion for the first time. We knew something really special was happening. And even today, when we take communion, we remember the words of Jesus. Do this in memory of me. Not just on Good Friday, but whenever we can. And as we gather, it is this forgiveness of sins that we celebrate and that we enjoy. And for some, it's beyond comprehension. Paul makes it clear, 1 Corinthians, for the message of cross, it's foolishness. It's just foolishness. You know, if that's what you have to do to make yourself feel better, then you just go ahead and do that. No, it's not that. The message of the cross is foolishness for those who want nothing to do with it, for those who are perishing. But to us, it's the power of God. It's the power of God that he allows us this forgiveness of sins. Or one of my favorite passages in the Bible, when Peter writes, and that's another sermon altogether, Peter's life with Christ, Peter's life before Christ's death, Peter's life after Christ's resurrection, Peter's life that he shares with us in this. For you know, Don, and your name, for you know, it's not with perishable things such as silver or gold that we have been forgiven, that we have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot, without blemish or defect. Or when Paul writes, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So let me wrap up this today. The words of Jesus are so wonderful, so beautiful. We love the Beatitudes. We love so many things that are being said. But I think one of the most profound statements Jesus ever made, because it's for all of us, was Matthew 26. This is my blood of the promise, of the covenant, the promise, which is poured out for many, the forgiveness of sins. I don't want to interfere in how you take communion today, but I will ask you to join me if you wish. You don't have to. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. That when you take the juice this morning, that you are participating in the death, the burial, the resurrection. That when you are drinking the cup, you are drinking forgiveness of sins. A reminder, this precious blood of Jesus is for us. It's not a detailed explanation of a crucifixion. It is the fact that he died so that we live in his blood as we commune today. May it be yours in abundance. Amen.
It's really good to be here. It's really, really good. And it's nice to look out here and see all of your eyes. Because that's about all we can see. But I'm just glad to be here, and I'm glad you're all here. I was trying to do this at home, and I just felt like I couldn't get through whatever was stopping me. Thoughts wouldn't come together, nothing would gel. And that's not usually where it happens. So after struggling with it all yesterday and yesterday evening to pull the pieces together and deciding to get up early this morning, I just couldn't. It was like I just couldn't sit there and talk to myself again. I couldn't sit there and look at my image in the tablet. It wasn't the same as being here. It wasn't the same as the feeling you get from being here. It just feels good. I was thinking the other day, I was driving along with Julie, and you know, those minor frustrations pop up in front of you all the time. You know, why is this person doing 35 and a 50? And why are they doing it in front of me? And, you know, and then I realized, like, that's not just the only thing. There's so many things. We're out in the world, and we're immersed in it. We're immersed in our fears, our frustrations, our concerns. The pandemic. And, you know, day-to-day thoughts and actions, they kind of layer in on you until you find yourself quite separate from the Lord. You're in the world, and it's kind of snuck up on you. It's all those little bits and pieces that come together, all those, you know, the things, the day-to-day things we have to do, the things we can't do. And I realized that this layering was really affecting my perception dramatically and my attitude. And I thought to myself, this isn't good. And I should not feel this way. I shouldn't be experiencing the world this way. I mean, you come to a point where you just see your little perspective. You start to judge everybody from that perspective. Frustration feeds it. Fear feeds it. And you get to a point where you're totally out of sync with Jesus. So in that car, sitting behind that other car, waiting at the light, I thought to myself, this is wrong. This is not right. And I thought, what would Jesus, how would he see these people? How would he see these situations? How would he see the world differently from me? And I just allowed myself to see the world as Jesus would. And it was like a peace, a calmness, a rightness. My perceptions changed instantly. And all I could see was the people he loved, the situations that were meaningless, the fears that were truly unwarranted. And my entire being shifted. Now, I'd love to keep it that way. But unfortunately, the world continues to interfere. But it is just amazing how, with a perceptual shift, to see something through other eyes than our own, especially through the eyes of Jesus, the world is a very, very different place. It's not scary. It's not demanding. It's just what God created, and we're part of it. And when we see it that way, we're a much bigger part of it. And we operate and think very differently. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that we can come together, that we can worship together, that we can listen to the words of the gospel together. Thank you, Lord, for that freedom. I thank you for the peace that you provide all of us that we, myself assured, rarely take the full opportunity to experience it. So this day, Lord, I would just like to thank you for that. And just to remind myself that it's available to us at any time. And Lord, you told us to take this bread, to eat it in memory of you, in memory of the sacrifice you made for us that day, as you took upon yourself all of our sins, all of our failures. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we eat the bread in remembrance of that. And the interesting thing, when I felt that shift in that car the other day. The thoughts that were coming to me were just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's a prayer I prayed in times of deep distress and trouble because I couldn't think of any good coming out of it. But I knew the Lord would. So I just thanked him. And like that day and today, I thank him for that opportunity, for the grace that he's provided us and the salvation he gave us. And he told us to take the wine and drink it in memory of his sacrifice of our salvation and our salvation. And we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Don. As we close today, I will be praying prayer originally authored by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. I'll be changing the second person, you, to the first person plural, we. Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. May it be a blessing for us as we go out today. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.